Eye on the Arctic, Views from the North, I'm Elise Quinn. So later this month, one of Iceland's key glaciers, or should we say former glaciers, will be getting a memorial service. And the glacier, let's call it Oak for short, has been declared dead since 2014. Now here to tell us all about it, the upcoming ceremony, is two of the people that will be making the trek to Iceland. Dominique Boyer and Simone Howe are both anthropology professors at Rice University in Houston, Texas, and they also produced a film on the glacier in question. And we're very lucky because they're both joining me today to tell us all about it. Dominique Boyer and Simone Howe, hello!
Hello, good to be on the line with you.
Great to be here.
So why don't we start off, for a lot of our listeners, this will be the first time we're hearing about this glacier that, as you'll notice, I didn't pronounce in the intro, hoping that you guys can correct me. Tell us, first of all, what it is, where it is, and why it's important.
Well, Ok, in Icelandic, Okjökull, the Ok Glacier, the glacier on Ok Mountain, is in southwestern Iceland. It's about an hour and a half away from Reykjavik, the capital of Iceland. And it's significant because it's the first well-known glacier in Iceland to have disappeared because of climate change.
How did two anthropology professors from Texas get interested in looking at this in such depth?
Well, it began with a research project that I started several years ago about what I'm calling the social life of ice. And that is the transformation of the landscape in Iceland and how it's affecting people's perception of their own identity as Icelanders, of the environment that they live in, and trying to understand the kind of cultural impact that occurs when we have these dramatic changes to the landscape, or what scientists call the cryosphere, that is glaciers and ice sheets. And here in Texas, we're located in Houston, which many, many listeners will know is a petro center for the Western Hemisphere. Mm. They sometimes call it the Petropolis or the Petro Metro. And so there's a huge influence here of the oil industry and the fossil fuel industry. So part of what we wanted to do was to explore research projects that provide a counterpoint for that and that really dig deeply into the impacts of climate change and the effects that it's having on humans all over the world. So that's the background for our interest as researchers and as anthropologists.
And talk us through what's going to be happening later this month. I mean, even when I saw it go by on Twitter, I did a double take. There's glaciers that are being impacted. The ice sheet here in Canada is being impacted. But we haven't seen this kind of memorial service before. Talk us through everything, how it came about, what's going to be happening, and, you know, why it's important to have an actual physical plaque there to remind people about what's gone on.
Well, Elise, it's a great question. And really, the idea to do this plaque came pretty organically out of the research and the filming we did for our documentary, which, depending on how you want to pronounce it, is either not okay or not ok. A little play on words there, given the name of the mountain, which happens to have a title that is immediately something that captures our eye, too, as English speakers. And it is, as you say, the first memorial that we know of to a lost glacier anywhere in the world. Of course, there are other ways that people have found ways to record glacial retreats, and there are places in the world where every year they take a photo or put a marker or draw a line that shows you how the glaciers are retreating on a year-by-year basis. But we thought for this glacier we would try to do something a little bit more. It is something that's symbolic and kind of a harbinger of the fact that Iceland, a country where ice is in its very name, and has over 400 glaciers and the largest glacial mass in Europe, has now lost its first well-known glacier, the first glacier that all school children learn about in school. So it seemed to us this real loss deserved a kind of commemoration, and we hope it will be a prototype for other places and other people to find ways to have a real ceremony of mourning and rebirth, hopefully, around glacial loss elsewhere in the world.
Let me also add a little bit more on the form. We discussed having a marker that might be more scientific in nature, like something you might find at a national park. We discussed having a tombstone, perhaps, like a real grave marker. But we decided to land on the memorial marker for two reasons. And that is as we go around the world, we can see memorials to all sorts of things that humans have done, right, that humans feel proud of. Maybe it's a memorial to a famous historical figure, a statue, something that we feel is an accomplishment. Or it is a memorial to a loss. If we think of a battlefield memorial, that would be mourning the loss of life. So in this memorial for this lost glacier, we're both mourning the fact that it has expired and it's no longer a glacier, but we also want to draw attention to the fact that this is something that humans have done. This is a human accomplishment, if you will, but not one that we should feel proud of, and that is anthropogenic climate change. So we're trying to draw very direct attention to that contradiction or that paradox that we're finding in the world that's dramatically changing in these times.
And we're certainly going to have the photo of the memorial plaque up on our website. But, you know, it's quite poignant, even the way that that it ended. I don't have it in front of me, but it was something about, you know, if you're reading this, only you'll know what we did or didn't do. I can't remember exactly how you worded it, but it's quite poignant, quite a poignant way to end it.
Yeah, I'll just quickly read it because for radio, I think it's important to, as an audio medium, that we hear the words. And so the English translation, in short, is: a letter to the future. Falk is the first Icelandic glacier to lose its status as a glacier. In the next 200 years, all our glaciers are expected to follow the same path. This monument is to acknowledge that we know what is happening and what needs to be done. Only you know if we did it. So it is, as you say, Eilish, a message to the future, and hopefully an intergenerational connection between those of us who are living now and are trying to get very serious about advancing programs of mitigation of climate change, and those in the future who are going to have to live with the results of our actions or inactions. And I think in a way we're trying to inspire people today to think about the future and think about those people in the future who are going to be born into the world that we create for them.
Right. And at the bottom of the plaque, you see we have the date, which is August 2019, when we'll be doing the installation on the 18th of August. It also says at the bottom of the plaque, 415 ppm, that's parts per million CO2.
Wow.
415 parts per million CO2 is the threshold, the greatest amount of carbon dioxide that we've had in our atmosphere for 3 million years. We passed this threshold in spring of this year. And so as future people look upon this memorial marker, undoubtedly that number will be higher. And they'll be able to look back and sort of ask the question to our generation, to the people who are living now, what did they do? Did they act? Were they able to make the changes to reverse climate change in the really urgent way that we need to do so? And so part of what we're going to have at the memorial ceremony or event itself is we'll have the glaciologist who declared Okhtyokult to be a glacier no more. We'll say a few words. Andre Snyder Magnusson, who is the person who wrote the words for the memorial plaque in English and Icelandic, will also say a few words. But it's also fantastic that we're going to have some young people at the event, including a small baby who's coming up in a baby pack. So we're excited. We'll have, you know, several 10, 12-year-olds. We're going to have the next generation there. And so I hope that, personally, I hope that it will be quite impactful for them as well as the future generations who need to continue this work.
I wanted to leave you both with the last word. Do you think there's any aspect of this that's been overlooked that you want to highlight for our listeners before we say goodbye?
Well, the one thing I think we might add is that, you know, oftentimes the coverage has been that this is a harrowing memorial or a somber memorial or a devastating memorial. We've heard a lot of kind of dark imagery surrounding the memorial. And we would just remind folks of something that one of our Icelandic friends told us, which is that, you know, memorials are not for the dead. They're for the living. And, you know, even though we are confronting a situation of real loss here, and we're confronting it not only as a small group of researchers and mountain climbers, but really as a world, it seems, because the story, as you say, has resonated, you know, everywhere from Tennessee to Vietnam, as far as we can tell, and everywhere in between. I think that resonance alone is a sign of hope. It's a sign that as a global community, we understand that we have to act as a species, not as individual nations across purposes, if we want to solve this problem. And I do think that, you know, the fact that this story has carried so far is already a sign that we're ready to undertake that harder work.
But it's been very exciting to see the kind of community that's formed around the loss of this glacier, which, although all Icelanders would learn about Ólafjökull in school, as Dominic pointed out, it was never a very famous glacier. It was not a place that tourists who went to Iceland would ever go visit. It's a little bit remote and a small mountain and rather, you know, unimportant in some ways. And yet the loss of its glacier has generated all the interest around the world, because even though it is a small mountain in a little country, arguably in a faraway place, it's telling a story that's a much bigger one, and that is about a changing environment. And so I think we've just been really honored to be part of this, in some way, you know, promoting the loss of Ok as a more important story to tell about the world in general, a little story that tells us about much bigger things.
Well, Simone Howe and Dominic Boyer, thank you so much for your time today. And we'll have all the visuals and everything up on our website to accompany the story. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ellie.